There's a florist on Route 9 in Bayville. And I don't know if you've caught this. I think it's up by the Moores Garden Center up there. Or it's in the plaza with Diesel Subs. Everybody knows Foods. I can't remember which one. Very simple sign. It says God's in control. Very simple sign, but very true. We're going to be talking about that today as we talk about living in hope. And, you know, no matter what happens in our world, God's in control. So as we prepare to come around the communion table later on in the service, someone without hope starts to deteriorate physically and spiritually and emotionally. Hope is important, but not the hope of the world. The hope that can only come from a settled relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask if you're able to stand. Would you join us in worshiping? I'd give that back to you. And you're going to sing Psalm 84. So just so you know where this song comes from.
Morning, church. God is good and all the time. Amen. We are here on this earth preparing ourselves to meet God. We live here in the world system, moving from sin to sin, looking for a way to change the bad into good. Some people revel in the bad and believe only in themselves. A few believe that what they have is temporary and know that there is a higher power waiting for us to come to Him. Dear God, blessed be Your name. Please give me the strength to carry Your name in front of me as I march through the battles of life. Please stay with me wherever I go. Bless those who thwart my true efforts and show me the way to be with You forever when I pass from this world. Amen.
Whose hearts are
Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Grant us peace. About to happen to him, yet he went anyway, all because I am a sinner, and he wants me to be with him in heaven. Jesus paid it all for us. Jesus paid it all for me. The least I can do is believe and worship him.
Thank you.
you please read with me, brothers and sisters, the responsive reading, 2 Corinthians, from 2 Corinthians. All right. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now the one who has fashioned for us this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. So we groan and writhe because our spirit yearns to be with God in heaven. We are in a world that is ruled by men and full of sin. Sometimes it's physically painful just to be here. We can glimpse what we are in for because God gave us the Holy Spirit to guide us, those of us who listen. At the end of our lives, we will leave this world behind and take up a new life with God, and it will last forever.
Thank you. As we talk about hope this morning, I want you to keep this verse in mind. How good God is. Look at this last verse just for a minute. Now the one who has fashioned us, meaning God, for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, as what? A deposit. It's a promise that will be fulfilled, guaranteeing what is to come. So hold on to that. As we get into Romans 8, you'll see how that works itself out in everyday practical living. As we come to prayer, I'll ask a couple of people if they would help with the collection. And let me give you an update on Frank. Frank is still up at Jersey Shore. Oh, and he's getting released today. They had enough of him. He's getting released. But last week his heart stopped twice, and that was the issue. So hopefully whatever they're doing is going to work. And as he comes home, he told me on the way home when he gets released, which is today obviously, he was going to stop at a store and get bubble wrap and a helmet so he doesn't hit his head again on the way down. Yeah. So pray for Frank that all goes well. Also, Vince, who usually comes, he'll sit over here. His mom passed away. He's having a service in about an hour at his mom's church. So pray for Vince as we do that. And pray for Joan. She's been feeling under the weather. My sister-in-law, Gloria, and, of course, Gail Hahn, who's still nursing the operation on her hand and arm. So those are the needs as we pray. I just want to remind you that Tuesday morning, Lord willing, we'll have our normal prayer meeting. I do have to be out of here relatively quickly between 11:30, well, by 11:30, because I have an appointment up in Bricktown that I need to make. Chip's away from the microphone. So men, you will start 1 Peter probably next week. I'll give you an introduction for that. The book should be here by Tuesday, so you'll have your books, okay? On Wednesday, we have the theological roundtable up in Toms River with Pastor Fuji, and I think that's it for the week. At least I hope that's it for the week. I have a very booked week coming up, so if you try to reach me, I'll get back to you as soon as possible. God is good, and all the time. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we are able to come together to worship you. We remember what you did for us on this communion day at the cross. But Father, it was not just for our salvation, but it's that so we can live in hope in the power of the Holy Spirit. Help us to understand that, Father. We pray for Frank. We pray for all of those who are ailing and not with us today. And we just pray that you restore them all to health. And Father, we ask as we go forward that we continue to pray for churches. We continue to pray for our country, our leaders. And Father, most of all, may we go forward understanding that you're in control no matter what happens. And so, Father, we give to the work of the church. We give to the work so that the gospel may go forward. And, Father, we will give you praise and adoration as you walk with us and you lay out the path for us. Thank you, Lord, for those who give. Bless the gift and the giver. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Listen, is there anybody who doesn't agree that when you turn on the news these days, it's depressing? Is there anybody who doesn't agree with that? Am I speaking to myself? All you have to do is go home and watch the news, which is a big mistake, by the way. And I'm not saying you shouldn't be informed, but everything is so divided. Everything is so slanted. There's no such thing as objective news reporting anymore. And it could get people really upset. I really believe that the networks use the news cycles to increase viewership and revenues and all of that. The fact of the matter is, since Adam and Eve fell into sin by their own choice, there's always been war, there's always been crime, there's always been violence. One of the things we face today, because the media is so instant, it just seems to be increasing, which it is in frequency, but there's nothing new under the sun here, right? If you allow me to get a little bit political, Republicans and Democrats are always going to fight. And I'm not saying you shouldn't get involved. I'm not saying any of that. What I am saying is this. I've seen too many people paralyzed by the news events, too many people paralyzed by all the arguing and bickering going on. And for a Christ follower, for a born-again Christian, there's no reason for it. There really isn't. Now, Don't leave here misunderstanding. For those of you who are able to vote, you should vote. Vote your conscience. I won't tell you who to vote for. But I always tell you to vote for candidates whose values reflect the values of the Bible. Okay? So you're intelligent. You can decide that for yourselves. And so as we go forward in this crazy, crazy world, what we are entering into here, I believe, is part of the end times. Well, we're another day closer to Christ coming back. I don't know when he's coming back. Nobody does. If they do, they're lying to you. But he's coming back. We're another day closer. And if today ends without him coming back, we're another day closer. But rather than worry when he's coming back, we need to be concerned about, are we living for him today? No matter what's happening. Remember the story of Chicken Little, right? The sky's falling. We can easily get into that mentality of sky's falling. So let me just reiterate this. our hope and our Savior is not going to be in Washington, D.C. Our hope and our Savior is solely in Christ alone. No matter what happens in Washington, no matter what happens in the stock market, no matter what happens anywhere else, our hope is in Christ alone. That's the way it should be. That's why we can go on and meet each day with the courage that only Christ can give us, because we know he's in control. The crash of Wall Street in 1929, people went nuts. They went crazy because, you know, they put all their money in the stocks in a crash and they lost everything they had. And this shows you how shallow our faith can be. There were people who jumped out of buildings in New York City because they got so desperate because the stock market crashed. Well, listen, it's not the end of the world. The end of the world will come when Jesus Christ comes back and he establishes the new kingdom. And you may be saying, well, Pastor, shouldn't we be concerned? Absolutely be concerned. But it should never paralyze us from the mission of the church. And once we get into that whole mentality, Satan has accomplished what he wants to accomplish. He wants to distract us enough so people get so discouraged they don't come to church. They don't read the Bible anymore. They don't pray. And by the way, I'll go out on a limb here, and I'll say one of the reasons why this country is hurting is because the church is so weak. Because by and large, the church doesn't pray anymore. By and large, people don't read the Bible anymore. By and large, in the power of the Holy Spirit, people don't put into practice what we ought to do. And, you know, listen, I'm getting some very disturbing statistics on the American church, and all churches are losing. There may be some here and there that aren't, but all churches are losing. I know several churches in our immediate area who once had many people and now are down to virtually nothing. The church needs to take responsibility for the mess our country's in. If you want to get involved politically, by all means, go ahead. But let me reiterate this. Nothing happens without prayer. Nothing happens without the guidance of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. And if we want wisdom how to navigate going forward, it's all here in the Scriptures. But we got to glorify God in the process. So let me read this for you. And I'm going to go through it quite quickly, because we got a lot to do today. This is in Romans chapter 8, and Romans chapter 8 is all concerned with living life in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me remind you that in the culture of the day in Rome, government was corrupt. The spiritual system was corrupt. And you were taxed beyond your means. People worked 6 days a week just to get food on the table. You know, we talk about inflation now, and it's hit everybody. However, still, the poorest of us here are rich in the world standards. And, you know, there's nothing new under the sun here. Paul writes this to a church in Rome at the start of persecution. He says, "For I consider our present suffering not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." Now, what is he talking about? Well, we're starting to see some of this, but I think it's going to intensify over time if there's no spiritual awakening or no awakening in the church. But if you suffer for following Christ, if you suffer for doing what's right in the sight of God, if you suffer because people think you're a radical conservative, a deplorable. I'm deplorable. All right. Listen. You're gonna have to write that off Don't let that paralyze you, because it's not worth comparing with the glory that will be ours at the coming of Christ. It's not pleasant. We don't need to like it. But what's the use in getting all down in the dumps and not going forward with God? I consider the present sufferings not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. One of the problems we have in America, and even in the American church, we don't know what it is to wait on God anymore. We want everything yesterday. If you go to McDonald's, Burger King, or White Castle for laxative burgers, or whatever you want to call them, if you go there and you go to the outside call box, and you're waiting, nothing happens. You're waiting, nothing happens. You're going to get angry, because I want it now. In fact, I want it sooner than now. And we've lost this incredible experience of coming to God with our prayers and waiting on Him for the answers. There's another problem here. It says, for creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. That will be at the second coming. But creation was cursed because of the fall of Adam and Eve. Why? Because we are part of creation, and God's creation, the earth, and all that's in it, is part of creation. So look what it says. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it. Listen, sin is devastating. The effects of sin many times affects a lot of people. Isn't that true? And so creation was subjected by God, its creator, to be cursed until the second coming. In fact, I will go one step further, and you could prove this from Scripture. The whole universe is cursed because of Adam. And so that makes problems, evils in the world. And that's not going to change until Christ comes back again. I don't care how many laws you have on the books. I don't care what programs you have on the books. Listen, external laws never change anybody. If you want to see true change, the heart has to be changed from the inside out. And the only one who could do that is Jesus Christ. And so I just saw, I should have wrote this down, but it was talking about a leopard and its spots. And there's an old saying, a leopard can't change its spots, it'll always be a leopard. Well, that's true. And external laws can never change who we are. Only the indwelling Christ can. We need to propagate that message. That is not a political message. That is the absolute truth. And so, look how he develops this. I got to run through this, right? That the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom, glory of the children of God. When Christ comes back again and establishes the new heaven and new earth here, there's not going to be any decay anymore. There's not going to be any sin. There's not going to be any residuals, if you will, from the rebellion that Adam and Eve brought on us. Everything's going to be restored and made better. You think roses look nice now? Wait. Wait until Christ comes back again. We're going to see roses like we never saw before. We went to a farm market here in town Friday just to pick a few things up, and they had cantaloupes there that looked like atom bombs. Right? In heaven, they're going to be great. Sometimes you buy a melon and you think it's ripe and it's not really ripe, or it's overripe. Everything's going to be perfect there. Yeah? Here you go. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Even creation joins in the groaning of a born-again believer. You know, hey, listen, when you get older, like myself, some of you, not that we don't want to live life anymore. You know, life is good. We have a zest for life that God gives to us. But sometimes, we look up and we say, when are we going to hear those trumpets, Lord? When are you coming back again? Some of us have been beat up by life, right? And that's no reason to despair. You say, oh, Pastor, easy for you to say. Well, this is what the Bible says. Whatever sufferings you go through, that won't compare to the glory that's reserved for us by God when he comes back again. Did you ever think how Paul made it through all the imprisonments, the beatings? He didn't do it with the help of the ACLU. He did it with the help of God. Because he never lost hope. He was left for dead. He was whipped I don't know how many times. There's part of scripture that says that he was beat up so bad one time that he was beyond recognition. Just like Jesus going to the cross. Paul never gave up hope. He didn't have a high-priced lawyer. But you know what he did? He glorified God. He wrote four letters to four churches in the prisons, praising God for his circumstances. He didn't like them, but he let them paralyze him. I'm not sure if I'm qualified to talk about this. But the issue of childbirth. All of the mothers here know the pain. So, men, if you didn't give birth, keep your mouth shut. But the pain of childbirth, listen, my hat's off to women, because when labor gets intense, it's intense. And I'm glad they don't just give up and say, I'm done. You know, I'm going home. I'm done. The thing about the pains of childbirth is there's a great reward at the end of it, isn't there? The same thing is true with our sufferings. As we do it God's way, there's a great reward in it as we remain obedient to Christ. Look at this. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we eagerly wait for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. Of course, that's looking forward to the second coming. But you see the first fruits of the Spirit? That term has the connotation that God has given us a down payment, the Holy Spirit. That down payment is God's guarantee to us that all his promises are going to be realized in our lives. We have the first fruits of the Holy Spirit. Listen, when life gets tough, we shouldn't run to the shopping mall. We shouldn't run to the phone and just find somebody else that's having tougher than us so that we can feel better about ourselves. No, we should run right to God and remember his word that no matter what suffering. Now, I have to clarify something. There's suffering we bring on ourselves, correct? We bring it on ourselves because we've sinned or not been obedient to God. We could even learn from that, but this is suffering because we are Christ followers. That we're walking and being obedient to Christ. And so the Holy Spirit is the guarantee. The moment you believe, the Holy Spirit lives in us. For what's it say? In this hope we were saved. This is not a wishy-washy hope. This is a sure hope. And the Holy Spirit is our guarantee that it will come to pass. We're saved in that hope. Isn't that great? later on in the chapter, and we'll go over this next week, or maybe today, I'm not sure how far we'll get, but nothing can separate us ever. No one, nothing, no circumstance can separate us ever from the love of God. Doesn't matter who's in the presidency. It doesn't matter what's happening in our neighborhoods. You understand what I'm saying here. None of that affects our relationship with God. At least it ought not to. It says, but in 25, it says, but we, if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. How many of you have a problem with patience? Oh, thank you for being honest. We all do. You know, we don't know what it is to wait patiently. You know, when I was talking with Frank the other day, I said to him, I bet you're anxious to get home. He said, Pastor, I learned with something like this, it's better to take your time. There's some wisdom there, isn't there? It's better to take your time. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Listen, there are days it's hard to pray, correct? You go through a tragedy. You go through something that's devastating. You just get a bad diagnosis from the doctor. Whatever it is, there are days it's hard to pray. There are situations where things happen that you don't even know how to pray or what to pray for, or you don't feel like praying. Listen to this promise. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groanings. Isn't that a great picture? That's a wonderful picture. You know, we have those days where we're just maybe so baffled or confused, or we don't know what to think. We can go into prayer and just let the Holy Spirit come before the Father and pray. Let me give you an example, okay? You know, a couple of years back, unfortunately, I lost my brother. And when, you know, in the days following that, it was difficult for me to pray. But he came back to this promise, and I'm honest with the Lord. I said, Lord, I don't know what to pray for right now, but you do. Holy Spirit, intercede for me. So here's the example. Let's say I was angry about his death, right? And if I'm coming before God, I'm doing, why did you allow this? Why now? Why this? Why that? The Spirit then steps up for me and says, Father, don't listen to Lou. He's emotional. We understand that. But let me tell you, I know his heart, and I know what to pray for. And he intercedes for me to pray the right things. This is a tremendous promise. In fact, every believer should have three intercessors. Later on in this chapter, we find out that Jesus Christ intercedes for us. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us when we pray. And the third intercessor should be other believers. It's amazing. Here we go. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, meaning the Father, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance to his will. And I just want to be very clear on this, and we'll probably end, I think, with the next verse. All right, we'll see how far we get. Where do you find God's known will? Where do you find that? Let me give you a little quiz. Say again? The Bible. Thank you. Very simple. We make it very difficult, but you find the Bible, right? Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, mind, and might. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's all the commandments tied up in one. The fact of the matter is we can't do that separate from the Holy Spirit. What about the will of God for tomorrow? Can anybody tell me what that is? If he gives us a tomorrow, it's to glorify God in everything we do. Nobody knows what tomorrow holds. Nobody knows what next week holds. But I want to just try to demonstrate this. The will of God is that we love Him, obey Him, and honor Him until He either takes us home or He comes back again. So here's what we know about the future. Jesus is coming back again, correct? So any events from now until the return of Christ, God permits for His sovereign will. I want to repeat that. God is sovereign. He doesn't answer to us, although we want Him to answer to us. He doesn't answer to us. Whatever God decides, that's His business. I can tell you this. God will never do anything wrong, nor will God allow anything to step in His way. So no matter what happens here in the United States, no matter what happens here in the world, whether there's war in the Mideast, whether there's war between Russia and Ukraine or whatever, you know, a lot of the news people are saying we're closer to World War III than we ever were. Yeah, maybe. But God's still in control. And every day in His sovereignty, nothing takes Him by surprise. No matter what's happening, we're called to walk in obedience because we know the second coming is near. Well, Pastor, how can we do that? It's very simple. Through the Spirit of God, by His power, and the Holy Spirit. Many of us, you know, listen, I've said this before, you can check this out for yourself. Church revival, church growth, the growth of genuine Christianity, not the stuff that passes for Christianity today, but the growth of genuine Christianity happens during persecution. That's a fact. Being persecuted for doing what's right. No matter what the culture says, no matter what the political leaders say, you know, the whole COVID farce, churches have to shut down. We will never shut our doors. If liquor stores could be open, we could be open. I mean, this is the type of worldview we need to adopt. Let me just run through this. I don't want to keep you too late. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. You see, as we walk in the will of God day by day, as we permit the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts from the inside out, as the Word of God takes root in our hearts and blossoms each and every day to become more like Christ, the Bible calls that sanctification. That's what this is talking about. No matter what happens, nothing can stop that process. Nothing in the world can stop that process. And so, do the last couple of verses. And those He predestined, He also called. I'm not getting into that today. We can do that on Tuesday. And this is so misunderstood, and people... Never mind, I won't even go there, but there's been senseless arguments over this verse. Those He called, he also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. Notice these two verses are written in the past tense. When you were saved, these things happened. And so Paul writes to say, hey, you know these things happen. Even though you're still on the journey, these are already done. It's a process, though. You'll realize it. Bible calls that sanctification. Okay. I'll bring you this far. What shall we say, then, in response to these things? Would you read this with me? If God is for us, who can stand against us? God is for us. Who can stand against us? Listen, be careful here. There's been many churches that have split over politics. Some had to close their doors because of it. There's been many churches who have split over the LGBTQ stuff, which is sinful. The transgender, the gender arguments, which is sinful, by the way. And all of that stuff. Listen to me. If we keep our eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, and we walk in obedience with him, we can say, if God is for us, who can be against us? But Pastor, let's say things get so bad that, you know, people start killing believers. It's nothing new, is it? Even if we face death, and we'll talk about that next week, even if we face death, if God is for us, who can be against us? So here's the thing that I really want us to understand. If you come away with anything else today, understand this. I don't know what this week is going to bring. Nobody does. I don't know when the Lord's coming back. Nobody does. But I know he's coming. So how do I live today? How do I live tomorrow? I live as if he's coming back now. And we better be found ready as he comes back. And that means we need to be found obedient to him, living in the hope of his second coming, living in the hope that when he comes, he will make all things right. Knowing that at that time, he'll take care of those who refuse to trust him. And he'll reward those who have trusted him through faith. I'm going to ask a couple of people to come up and help with communion. You know, as I think through this whole thing, we, in many ways, humans are smug. In many ways, our sinful nature wants to get what we want when we want it and how we want it. Do you realize that there's things that we may want that could harm us or hurt us? God knows that. There are things that we may desire or want that God does not do because we're not ready for it. For many years, as long as I've been in ministry, we've prayed for revival in the church. I honestly think we haven't experienced a true revival because the church is not ready for it. We're not reading the scriptures. We're not praying like we ought to. Our obedience is wishy-washy. It's if it's convenient for us. May God help us. But this is the time to confess all of that. We come around the Lord's table. He prepared it for us. And it's a way for him to remind us of his great love for us because he died on the cross in my place to take away my sin. It's also a reminder that in 3 days, he rose in victory. Victory. We'll talk more about that next week. He rose in victory, conquered sin, conquered death, and conquered Satan. And Jesus, when he instituted this at the Last Supper, the Passover Supper, he used the bread and the wine as illustrations for his body and blood that was broken for us. We don't deserve it. It's all by his grace. He went to the cross in my place, in your place. We don't deserve it. It's all by grace. So as the men, pass out the bread. Would you hold it? We'll partake together, but use this time for confession. Very specific confession. If the Word of God, the Spirit of God, reveals things in our life that need to be confessed, now's the time to do it. Men, would you go? On the night he was betrayed, the scripture says, Jesus took bread and he broke it. And he said to his disciples, this is the symbol of my body, which is broken for you. When you eat this, do this in remembrance of me. Would you eat, please? I'll ask that the cup be dispensed. And would you hold it and we'll take it together. Jesus took one of the cups that celebrates the Passover, I believe it was the cup of redemption, and used it as another illustration. He says, this cup represents his blood, which is shed for us. The lifeblood of the Son of God shed for us. It is a symbol also of the new covenant. We talk about hope. Jesus says, I will never, ever leave you or forsake you. And he says, when you drink this, do this in remembrance of him. Oh, thanks. I'm going to leave you with one thought, and we'll develop this a little bit more next week. Did it ever occur to us, I think everybody knows this, but it sometimes we push it to the back of our minds. God sees the whole picture, we don't. Right? He sees the whole picture. That's why sometimes God allows things doesn't make sense to us. But it makes perfect sense for him. Because he sees the whole picture. I would say to you, go back and read Job. When Job wanted his day in court with God. And God was gracious enough to give it to him. And Job said, I mean, Job lost everything, right? He lost his family except for his wife. He lost his wealth. He lost his health. And Job says he never turned his back on God, but he says, I don't know why, Lord. You know, why? Why did this have to happen? And simply God said, Job, where were you when I created the stars? Where were you when I did this and I did that? The answer is, he's God. We're not. But I know we're one day closer. So, Kristen, would you come up? And she's going to lead us through the days of Elijah. Oh, all right. Kristen, you get 2-minute break. We have the benevolence fund. One thought. Next week, we're going to talk about what it is to be super conquerors in Jesus Christ. You don't talk about that too much in the church anymore, but it's true. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for those who come. It's great to see Tara and her family. Great to see everybody here. We pray for those who aren't. Father, would you dismiss us in the power of the Holy Spirit? Help us to glorify you in everything we do, and we'll give you all the glory. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. You're dismissed. Have a great lunch.